The reading is taken from Luke, chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 15. This can be found on page 1027 of the Church Bibles. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So are you like me in that strange time warp that is this slightly odd period of the year where you can't face another pig in blanket and the Christmas cake is all but a little slice on the plate? Or in our house, actually, there's still quite a lot of it left because my mother-in-law made the most enormous cake for us, which was lovely. And it's that time when you sort of forget what day it is. So well done for remembering it's Sunday. Well done for making it to church, and actually at a specific time, something happens. I heard this time described in a way that I hadn't heard before, of crimbo limbo. Have you heard that phrase? Crimbo limbo, where time becomes quite an odd thing. And I think this period has evolved over the years. I don't know about you. So way, way back, for centuries and centuries, Christmas Day was the beginning of the festivities. And then you would, in the traditional, don't talk to me about that song, 12 days of Christmas, you would continue and continue and continue and continue, Lords are leaping and all sorts, and you would continue celebrating at that level for 12 days because it was such a special celebration. And things seem to have changed a bit, don't they? That we do lots and lots of Christmas things on the run-up to Christmas. So you get to Christmas Day. I don't know about you, we can sort of feel a little bit like we've fallen off the edge of a cliff, and we've done all the, you know, the school plays and the carol services. We're, you know, in church we do just as much of this as everybody else. And all the, you know, carols by candlelight and the school services and the carol singing and holly runs and Santa runs and parties and work Christmas do and all of that. And then we get to Christmas Day and we have the big lunch, and this might just be Vicky's, I don't know, but you sort of go, oh, I don't think it is just Vicky's. And then we live through this odd suspension of normal routines until the new year. Now I have to say, I recognise that's not everybody. If you're a doctor or a paramedic or you run blood transfusion services or something like that, then perhaps you're shift work and your routines do continue. So I realise it's not everybody, but for lots of us, it's this sort of slow motion freeze frame period of the year. And then we sort of slow right down. I don't know about you. And then we get to today and we think, oh, I've got to celebrate all over again. It's another thing to celebrate now. It's going to be a new year. Okay, find that bit of energy and I'll kind of get going again. And we find ourselves at that time of year, which we've already said, we face backwards and then we start looking forwards again. So for some time we may be held in that suspense, things put on hold, a feeling of being in limbo, crimbo limbo. And that might be for lots of reasons. It might be because there are particular challenges coming up and we can't quite get on with whatever they are because nothing's normal at the moment, but they're sort of in our minds, and there might be things that we've paused, but we know that actually we're going to have to start running quite fast or in difficult places once the new year comes. And if there are those people here who feel like that, well, actually our job as a church is to hold you in our prayers and to try and support each other. So if we know of each other, of folk who are facing challenges in the new year, come on, let's get behind them in prayer and in practical support. That might be something that we step up to in the new year. Some of us really just look forward to getting back to the routine. I don't know if that's you. There's a few nods around the room actually. Oh, give me an alarm clock and a timetable and a train to catch. I'll be much happier. And whatever normal might be, of course, for some normal looks very different. And sometimes there's just a sense of anticlimax, as I say, after all of that stuff and frivolity and festivities and things that have gone on. Sometimes it's just a bit flat, isn't it? And they talk about the January blues, and January particularly is the month, isn't there? There's often more month than money because of everything that's gone before. And the bank balance and perhaps the scales don't quite tell us the numbers that we'd like to admit, and spring feels a long time away. So having come once more to Christmas to gaze on the baby in the manger, we need to make sure, don't we, that that encounter with the newborn king isn't just looking back. It was lovely, wasn't it, Christmas? And then we clear away all the decorations, and we clear away the crib scene, and we clear away the baby in the manger, and then we sort of move on back into the routines and back into trying to make ends meet or the new project or whatever it is. Let's make sure that as the decorations get packed away, as they will do later this week, that as they get packed away, our encounter with Jesus remains a reality that's very much out of the box and not up in the loft gathering dust. I suppose I was thinking of that particularly as I looked at Mary in the story in the Bible reading. She only gets a sentence or two. But Mary has just been in exactly that place. She's had an angel come and visit her. She's had to get ready to have a baby, but not just at home. She's had to go on a journey about 80 miles, very pregnant, potentially most of it in labour, and arrive, nowhere to stay, and find somewhere to stay. She's had a baby, she's all right. Goodness me, that wasn't a given even to start with. And I wonder if she's got some of that flip. What just happened? What was that? And stopping and slowing down and thinking and time to reflect. And Luke uses those beautiful words, doesn't he? As she stops in all the mess of her situation. The visitors have gone. I don't know if any of you are feeling like that, actually. The shepherds and all the people who've come to see, they've all gone. And the front door's been closed and it's your space again. Do you know that feeling, having had visitors? Love to see them come. You know the rest of it. And I wonder if Mary is in that, oh, they've gone. Oh, there's some peace and quiet stage. And Luke uses those beautiful words as she remembers everything that people have said to her over this incredible time. She treasures them up in her heart. Mary treasured them up in her heart. I wonder what in this period God is asking you to treasure up in your heart. Maybe it's words of scripture. Maybe it's something that somebody has said to you. I think this about you. And maybe somebody has been brave enough to say, I think God might be saying this to you. What is it that God is asking you to treasure up in your heart? But then just at the end of that story, we hear of Jesus being named in the temple. 8 days, the Jewish custom, Jesus was named and circumcised. He was named Jesus, as the angel had said he would be. And of course, the angels didn't just give a name. They said lots of things about who this baby was going to be. So as Mary names Jesus, and she owns that identity that has been given to him by the angels, by God, she also takes him into that future that has been laid out before him. She accepts not just the name, but all that comes with it. She accepts the future of this Prince of Peace, the Messiah, the newborn king who will come to bring peace to the nations. And so Mary also stands in that place of looking back, treasuring in her heart all the things that have gone before, and looking forward and stepping into, with her newborn son, the identity given to her and therefore him by God. What is God inviting you to step into as your identity for this coming year? This is such an important thing to do, isn't it? To pause, to reflect, and to look forward. After all the excitement and the activity of Christmas, these quieter days, I won't presume, but for some of us, these quieter days can be a gift to chance to take stock, to be still, to bring ourselves into the presence of God. Like Mary, let's treasure up in our hearts the things that we've seen God do this year. Perhaps you can write them down if that's not your habit already. Let's treasure his presence and his activity. In doing that, we'll be better prepared to trust him for all that the future holds. It's oft quoted, but I love this quote from a poem that was part of the King's Speech in 1939 at the beginning of the war. And I've forgotten the poet's name, Minnie somebody, but you'll find it if you want it. And you'll recognise these words. I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, "Give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown." And he replied, "Go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way." So I went forth and, finding the hand of God, trod gladly into the night.